Ray whistles into Burks. He's wide open top of the key. The sophomore rattles it home from long range. His 9th 3 of the season, and Beloit leads 15-0.
One of 11 three-pointers last night for Beloit against the Russell Bronco defense. That interesting defensive strategy last night. Leave three guys on the floor open by about 10 to 15 feet and dare them to shoot threes, and what do you know? They made them.
Yeah.
Caleb Burks with a career-high 14 points, a sophomore, 4 threes. Owen Eilert hit 2 threes. Wyatt Brockman, a freshman, hit a three. Kalen Chancellor, a sophomore, hit his first 2 career threes. Beloit had 11 threes last night, and only one was made by their starters. And that was by Carson Cox, who only attempted a couple of threes.
Yeah, seems like Beloit's made quite a few threes against Russell this year.
Just a few. Just a few. And you wonder, there is a common theme there, and that is when you leave guys wide open, good shooters will make shots like that, whether they're sophomores or freshmen or whoever it may be. And Beloit did it last night. Beloit jumped down to a 20-0 lead. Russell didn't score a point in the first quarter, and it was over kind of like it's been all year and for the last 10 years for the most part. Not every time, but... Beloit's beaten Russell in 21 straight times now in boys basketball, dating back to 2010, a decade ago. Russell, maybe that's why they're leaving the league and going to the Mid-Continent League. I don't know.
Can't imagine their record's any better against Sacred Heart.
Well, it's not. Against anybody. It's 5-110
the league record,
in league
so
play.
It's not better against anybody.
Not good. No, not good. And I'm not trying to, you know, I know it's tough. I do feel for Russell. I do.
Oh, for sure.
I feel for those kids and the program and the coaches that not a lot of stability there. They change coaches over all the time, changed in the middle of the season this year on the boys' side. And you know, I hope they can figure it out because I don't wish any bad will on really any program out there.
No.
Because, you know, it's not easy to lose. We've been pretty spoiled in these parts. We've had some really good winning teams that have been winning for a while consistently, whether it be football or basketball, whatever the sport may be. So we've been spoiled. And Russell, just the futility that they have had in boys basketball is second to none when it comes to the overall record the last 10 years, their league record, and then just, you know, absolutely not even being competitive a lot of times. And they were not competitive last night, and everybody knew it going in. And Beloit, to their credit, took care of business. And they won easily, and they got to play all the sophomores and a freshman there in the fourth quarter, and a senior that doesn't play a lot got to score last night. Everybody scored last night, I think, except one kid. So you got everybody in and got guys rested, and that's what you deserve as a number one seed, is to have a somewhat easy game your first round. And that's what Beloit got. They're now 18-3. They have now won 10 in a row. And Bryce Mason chipped in with 11 and Hudson Gray with 10, as the Beloit boys now will face Norton, who knocked off Minneapolis last night, the 5 seed over the 4 in Minneapolis. That game was tied 49-all with a minute 29 to go. And Norton scored the final 6. So Beloit will take on Norton, and that will not be easy. It won't be easy from here on out for anybody, probably, except maybe the Central Plains girls. In regards to moving forward, substate semis get tough. Substate finals are usually tough. Sometimes a substate semifinal is even tougher than the final.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, remember, Beloit was dead in the water with 4 minutes to go in a substate semifinals at Riley County against St. Mary's. They were down 10 with 4 minutes to go. Rallied, forced overtime, won in double overtime, made it all the way to state championship game. And you could certainly argue they should have never even made it to the sub-state final.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to have a rally, a comeback. Odds are, if you're going to make it to state, or you make it all the way to state finals, or win it all, you're going to have a scare somewhere.
Oh,
you're going, usually.
Yeah.
Central Plains girls would be an exception.
Yeah.
Okay, there have been dominant teams in the past. But usually, you're going to have a game where you're going to maybe catch a break here or there, and you take advantage of it. We saw the Chiefs catch breaks this year to win the Super Bowl. Every team wins the Super Bowl catches breaks. I mean, for crying out loud, look at the break the Giants had with the catch of on top of David Tyree's helmet. I mean, it takes a little bit of luck. The Royals, look at all the breaks that went their way in 2015,
mm-hmm.
you know, with all those comebacks and the crazy hop of the ball and the air on Correa in game 4 of the ALDS when that game and series was basically over in the 8th inning. Sometimes luck is on your side. Many people say you make your own luck, and that could very well be the case. But last night, Beloit boys, no problem. 74-37 over Minneapolis. Other games for last night, Dusty?
Yeah, that same substate there, Norton winning 55-49 over Minneapolis. Hoisington over Concordia, 66-24. And TMP came back to beat Phillipsburg, 42-38. So it's Beloit against Beloit against Norton. In the next round, Hoisington against TMP there in the substate semifinals in Beloit on Thursday. So those are the scores from last night. Also, the Smith Center girls, we knew it was going to be a battle for them, and they fell to Republic County last night, 47-31. Alexis Hansen had 18 points for Republic County in that game, so Republic County moves on to the semifinals of that sub-state. And Ellis coming up Thursday, they'll take on the number one seed Trigo, who beat Hill City 56-19. And Smith Center's season comes to a close with an 11-9 record. So tough out there for Smith Center last night, and they finished their season at home against Republic County.
All right, Beloit Norton will play at 7:30. That'll be a late game, as we assumed. And Hoisington TMP will be the 6 o'clock game on Thursday. So we'll have the Beloit boys game on Thursday against Norton on Katy Country 94. And then the St. John's Tipton boys play on Thursday as well. And we'll have that one on Z96.3 Lake. What time do they play?
Yes, against Gossel.
Okay, against Gossel.
Yep.
And that's what we'll have on Thursday. And then we'll see what we have on Friday, depending on what happens tonight.
Yes.
So how's that sound?
Sounds great to me.
All right. All right. Anything else to add local sports-wise?
We go through the schedule for tonight.
That's right. We want to preview tonight.
Yeah, 2A boys, we'll do that, and then we'll go into your games. 2A boys Smith Center is at Ellis tonight. That's actually a 6 o'clock tip-off in the first round of that tournament. In Republic County's at Plainville in a 3-6 matchup. Plainville, the number 3 seed. Those are the games going on tonight. Smith Center 6-13 going into their game with Ellis tonight. Ellis 14-5. Ellis definitely a favorite in that one here this evening, but we'll see how that all plays out there in Ellis tonight, and that Ellis sub-state in Class 2A. So then, obviously, we have Beloit girls tonight on Katy Country 94, 6:45 pregame, and tip-off at 7 o'clock. Beloit, the number 2 seed, Minneapolis, the 7 seed. Wade can probably tell you a little bit more about that game since he's prepped and ready to go and has seen that game twice this year.
Have that on KatyCountry94.com and our live video stream at NCKSports.com via Beloit Trojan Channel. Third meeting of the year between Minneapolis and Beloit. And Beloit, the first two meetings, the first one they won by 14. Don't let that fool you. Minneapolis led by 1 with 3 minutes to go on the third quarter and then couldn't buy a bucket the rest of the way. And Beloit went on 17-2 run to close out the game and win it by 14, but it was much closer than the final score would indicate. That was in Beloit. And then on February 21st, just a couple weeks ago, Beloit went to Minneapolis needing a win to clinch the outright league title, and they got it, and they jumped out to a 23-4 lead, but Minneapolis came all the way back and cut it to 5 late in the third, and Beloit had to make a key pass from Meyer to Larson against some full-court pressure to push the lead back up to 8 and give them some breathing room in the last couple minutes of that game, or who knows what might have happened. So this is a very dangerous game for the Beloit girls tonight. If they take care of business, and I think they will be focused, no doubt. You have to. How can you not be focused tonight? I mean, this is your season's on the line, and the Beloit girls are playing at home. Now, if you care about history, which some people would say history is interesting, has no impact on the game tonight, which I would agree, it probably doesn't. But there is an interesting history between Beloit, Minneapolis, and girls basketball when it comes to sub-state play since 2009. Beloit, Minneapolis have met 3 times in the last 10 years in sub-state. All 3 times were in Beloit. All 3 times, Beloit won. 2010, Beloit won in the sub-state semifinals, 60-54, made state that year.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, Beloit won the sub-state championship game against Minneapolis in Beloit by 10, made state that year, obviously. 2018, 2 years ago, they beat Minneapolis in the first round in Beloit by 22, lost in the sub-state semifinals to Russell in Minneapolis. Tonight, the game is in Beloit.
Yeah.
So Minneapolis considering say, you know what? All streaks must come to an end. We're bound to get Beloit at some point at sub-state play. Maybe this is the night. It very well could be. Sean Arimas, head coach of Beloit, respects Minneapolis, knows it's not easy to beat a team 3 times in a season. Minneapolis 5-15, Beloit's 14-6, but Minneapolis is better than that record indicates.
Well, it's always tough to play a team 3 times, and we know Minneapolis is very talented, and they're coming in, and they've got good guard play, and they've also, you know, Forte's playing really well for them right now, and they hit the rebounds really hard. So we're going to have to definitely play defense, and we're going to have to find ways to execute on offense and not take this game for granted.
You know, the key tonight to me for Beloit is just stay focused, do what you're supposed to do, but you have to handle the ball. And when Minneapolis got back in the game at Minneapolis, Beloit had some loose turnovers. And all of a sudden, Minneapolis got back in the game, and they used some pressure. And that's been a problem for Beloit throughout the last few years. This year, they've handled a lot better ever since the Colby tournament. Right when they did a pretty good job against pressure out at Colby. And since then, they've done a better job against some pressure defense here and there. But they have those little moments or little spans of time where they have a couple of turnovers that you're like, where are you going with that pass? Mm-hmm. And if you do that in tonight's game, you may get away with it. You do that coming up in the sub-state semifinals, sub-state finals. If you get that far, that could be the difference between winning and losing.
Yeah.
Those are the types of plays that Beloit really needs to clean up. And they've done a better job of that the last couple of months of the season, but they need to continue that. And the other thing, too, is Minneapolis probably sitting there going, let's just get off to a good start. Because the last time we dug ourselves a 19-point hole, we got off to a good start. That puts pressure on Beloit because they're the favorite at home. And if it's a tight game, Minneapolis. I think Coach Weatherman, if you told him it's fourth quarter and it's a one- or two-possession game, he'll take it. Because that means that there's definitely it's anybody's game, and the pressure is on Beloit. Mm-hmm. I do not think this will be a blowout tonight. I would be surprised if it was. And I think it really can go either way. I would, you know, slight edge to Beloit because I think they might have a little bit more offensive firepower with the size inside with Cooper and Larson. But the X factor, of course, is Minneapolis can shoot some threes. And if they're hot tonight, that's always scary, no matter who you play, whenever you play. And the other part of it, of course, if Beloit doesn't have a deep bench, you get in foul trouble, that's got to be a concern. And as I mentioned, the turnovers. So this is going to be an interesting game. This is not your typical 2-7. This is league rivals against each other that know each other extremely well.
Yeah, you can't ever, if it's a league rival like that and you played twice already and had some battles, you can't just like go into a game and just say, yeah, hey, we're the 2 seed, they're the 7, we're going to win. No. It just doesn't work like that.
It doesn't.
I mean, you can say, one of the teams that's in Thunder Ridge's sub-state, Golden Plains. I mean, they played a league rival and barely got by them. Golden Plains was undefeated. I think Wheatland had 9 losses or something like that.
Right.
So, you can't go into those games against your league teams and just expect that just because we've beaten them already twice, this is over.
And you also can't just assume because you're at home, you're automatically going to win either. You know,
exactly.
The girls and boys are hosting sub-state. Well, that doesn't guarantee you a spot at state, no doubt about it. So it'll be an interesting game tonight. I'm looking forward to it. 6:45 with the pregame and tip-off at 7. Beloit in Minneapolis. Beloit won the first meeting by 14, but as I said, much closer than the final score indicated. The last meeting, they won by 7 after having a 19-point lead. Minneapolis fought back. They could have easily rolled over, folded the tent, and called it good, and they didn't. And Coach Weatherman's teams always play hard.
Oh, without doubt.
So
it's a long-standing tradition in that family.
Yes, Mike Weatherman, Brian Weatherman. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. So it'll be fun coming up tonight. Also, live video stream, ncksports.com, via Beloit Trojan Channel, and on Katy Country 94. By the way, you look ahead. If the Beloit girls and Norton girls win, which those would be the favorites in the bottom half of that bracket, Norton hosting Hoisington tonight, Beloit would play Norton on Friday in Beloit, and Beloit is 3-0 against Norton in the last 10 years in sub-state basketball. I did crack research today during the show, and two of those three wins were in Beloit, and the other was when Norton hosted sub-state, and Beloit won at Norton. So Beloit, there is Minneapolis-Norton's been a good pattern for Beloit in the past when they play them in sub-state, but as we said before, all streaks can come to an end very quickly, right?
No doubt.
Yeah. So that's the bottom half of the bracket. Top half of the bracket, Phillipsburg, the 1 seed, taking on Concordia, the 8. Phillipsburg probably will cruise in that one. That's at 6 o'clock tonight. I would say Phillipsburg's the favorite to win this sub-state. Beloit played Phillipsburg earlier this year and gave them all they could handle and had a 19-10 lead, and then Phillipsburg went on a big run, but that was early in January. So, you know, then you look at the 3 seed Norton. I think they're a dangerous team. And then TMP, I wouldn't sleep on TMP. They're 8-12. They're getting better. They've had some injuries this year, and they're playing Russell tonight. And I know TMP's 8-12, but the records throw them out the window to get to this point in time. That's in Hayes at 7 o'clock tonight. TMP Russell winner will play more than likely Phillipsburg, unless Concordia girls can pull off a huge upset. The 2-18 Panthers versus the 17-3 Phillipsburg Panthers. Battle of the Panthers.
Yes.
I will assure you the Panthers will win that game tonight.
Absolutely.
Feeling pretty good about it, unless it ends in a tie. There's no ties in high school basketball. That's true, there isn't. Turn our attention, all that information, by the way, available to you, ncksports.com. Last night, college basketball, Baylor really in a must-win situation to have any chance to win the Big 12 title. They lose last night to Texas Tech at home. If they do, then, of course, what happens? KU's got to just win 1 out of 2, and they get an outright title. And that's not very likely. So Baylor had to win last night to keep their Big 12 championship dreams alive. And, man, did they have to fight for that. Fight for their right to win the Big 12.
Yeah.
Texas Tech went into Baylor. I thought that'd be a good game. Really did. But Tech's a weird team. It's like they play to their level of competition.
Oh, yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they beat in Louisville. And they lost by 2 at home to Kentucky. And last night they lost by 3 in overtime at Baylor. So they're going to bring it. And they're a team now that's on the bubble, by the way. And they need a resume-building win, and they didn't get it last night. They were close, but that's not good enough. And so if you're Kansas, You beat TC tomorrow night on senior night, and Yudoka Azubuki is questionable. He has a walking boot trying to protect that sprained ankle, so he may or may not play. Senior night, KU wins on senior night. They don't lose on senior night. So I think you can, I don't know if you can assume it, but you can probably plan on KU winning tomorrow night more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
But KU then goes to Lubbock, and Baylor has to go to West Virginia. Wouldn't it be crazy to end the season with both those teams losing on the road and Kansas wins it outright, even though they lose in Texas at Texas Tech and Lubbock?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, there's not too many teams that go 17-1 in a Power 5 conference in league play. And that's
no.
what KU would have to do. If Baylor wins out and KU wins tomorrow night, KU would have to go 17-1 to win the Big 12 outright. That's tough to do.
Yeah.
And going to Texas Tech, the Red Raiders need a signature win to maybe get into the tournament. Well, if you beat number one Kansas at home in Lubbock on Saturday, I would think that would put you in the tournament, don't you? That'd mean they beat two number ones this year because they beat Louisville, who was number one. So Kansas got to be leery of that game. I know Texas Tech struggled lately, but, boy, they brought it last night. Baylor won, though, in overtime, 71-68. So Baylor still has a chance to win the Big 12 title, at least get a share of it. You know, it's going to be a long season for the Houston Astros. A very long season. Did you hear a couple things happen yesterday in spring training games? Trevor Bauer, he has been a vocal critic of the Astros. He used to pitch for the Indians. He's always been an outspoken guy.
Yes.
And he is a member of the Cincinnati Reds now. And so he did something unusual yesterday between the Reds and the Dodgers. So it wasn't against the Astros. But what he did was, in a spring training game, the pitcher, Trevor Bauer, did something unusual as he faced Matt Beatty. Beatty was at the plate. Before coming into his delivery, Bauer would signal to Beatty what pitch was coming. Yes, Bauer, the pitcher, intentionally gave away the element of surprise that is sacred to pitchers. It's all there. You can see the sequence. And guess what? He still got the guy out. So there's a shot at the Astros. Yesterday, during a spring training game that was televised on ESPN, Anthony Rizzo was mic'd up for a Cubs spring training game against the Los Angeles Angels. And so he was being spoken to by Jessica Mendoza, who was in the booth. Here's the exchange. Rizzo says, I'm doing some math in my head about what he's going to throw. This is when he's at the plate. You know, he can do the spring training, mic him up, you know, no big deal. Mendoza says, what do you got? Rizzo goes, I have no idea. I wish I knew. Maybe someone can bang for me, which means bang on a trash can. Of course, he's making light of the Astros' technological misconduct. You heard the one. I brought a sign to the Astros game, but they stole it.
Yeah.
There you go. It's going to be a lot of joking about the Astros' expense. And honestly, it's probably deserved.
It's warranted for sure. They
did it.
Yeah.
They
did
it.
The old adage, don't do the crime if you can't do the time, kind of like add to that with this. Don't do it if you don't want that coming at you.
I saw a fan that was very nice and under control, wasn't screaming, yelling. He was just trying to have a conversation before a spring training game when some of the Astro players were in the dugout. And the guy came over the rail, which you can't, what you can do, because he's in his seats, he's not out of his spot, per se, just came up along the rail and near the dugout of the Astros. And there was an exchange I saw on social media where the fan says, hey, are you guys going to give the trophy back? Have you guys decided on that? Blah, blah, blah. And the players say, you paid money to come watch us, didn't you? And he goes, I came money to come down here to talk to you. And he has the right to do that. As a fan, he wasn't vulgar. He wasn't mean. And you know that's just, I feel sorry for the players that are on the team now that had nothing to do with it, that are new players.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for the players that really didn't want to be a part of it, that kind of almost, it's like a fraternity. You better not rat somebody out. I do feel for those guys a little bit. I don't feel for the ringleaders of it at all.
No.
Because they knew what they're doing was wrong, and they deserve some ridicule in a clean manner, I think. And I thought that was just fine what that fan was doing.
Yeah.
Wasn't screaming, wasn't yelling, no profanity. Was just like, hey, so when are you giving the trophy back? Have you guys decided on that yet? You know, you're going to return that trophy to the commissioner's office? I mean, just easy, nice conversation.
Yeah.
The Astros are going to deal with this all year.
Oh, without a doubt.
They're going to get hit on purpose.
Yeah.
They've already
whether
they like it or not.
Yeah.
It's not going to be pretty. The Royals spring training, they are 4-6 in spring training. Not that that's a big deal. There's a battle for the fifth starter position in their rotation, but they really don't need that spot filled till April 8th with all the open days the first couple weeks of the season. You know, Trevor Rosenthal is an interesting guy that signed with the Royals. He's a guy that can throw hard, that was a closer for the Cardinals, and he pitched for Mike Matheny when he was the manager of the Cardinals. Now Matheny, if you didn't know, is a new manager of the Kansas City Royals. So the Royals trying to sort some things out, maybe with a bullpen spot or two, and then trying to figure out the fifth spot in the rotation, but they have plenty of time to figure that out. Also, trying to figure out who's going to be their 26-man, as there are now 26-man rosters instead of 25. That's a new rule in Major League Baseball this year. Will they keep both Brett Phillips and Bubba Starling? They're both out of options, so if they would, you know, they could be free agents, go elsewhere if they don't make the team. I don't know if you keep both those guys as role players or not, but we'll see what the Royals do, or maybe nobody picks them up, and then they will go back to AAA and play down there. But Bubba Starling, to me, is a role player at best. It's unfortunate because you hoped he'd be a star from, you know, Kansas, Gardner Edgerton, but it just doesn't seem to be in the cards. He's 27. He started out okay when he came up last year, but I think he's a guy that's going to have to be a pinch runner, a defensive replacement, and maybe a pinch hitter from time to time. To me, that's his role. I don't see him as an everyday player based on what I saw last year. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know if he's going to get another chance to play every day.
No, I don't know. It hasn't looked good for a while with Bubba.
No.
But you know, once he actually saw him get into the majors, there wasn't anything over a long stretch of time that felt like, he's going to be here for a while.
Right.
It's not a...
No. Absolutely. All right. So we'll continue to follow the Royals through spring training and see what materializes.